Are you ready for the word?
Alright,
lift your hands together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive your word with faith on our hearts and meekness on our minds. We receive purity and clarity in the teaching of your word, in this service, together as a church. We know Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, he is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Now we're looking at supernatural expectation, hope, a supernatural expectation. And I believe that that should minister to many of us who need to have God's word in our mind strong. Matthew's Gospel 28, I'm going to take it from 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then he says, amen. Which means every believer has a written purpose. God's written your purpose in his word. You don't start finding out, what's my purpose for living? What does God want from me? You know? Now I said in the earlier service, if you have light and you're looking for light, you're going to get into darkness. If God's word is clear on a matter and you're still praying to know what God is saying or seeking to know what God is saying, you'll get into trouble. And I mentioned this in the earlier service, I want to say it again. You know, someone said this. He said, that a prophet may not have the word. That's how he said it. A prophet of God may not have the word, but he can have signs and wonders. And so he said that, you know, a man may not have the word, but he has signs and wonders. And I kind of find that he's talking crap. It's like saying a pilot may not know how to fly a plane, but trust him, he's a good guy. And that's not true. A prophet is not a seer. I've told you that before. It's a wrong interpretation of scripture to assume that a prophet is a seer, somebody who sees visions. No, that's inaccurate. A prophet in scripture is a spokesman. A prophet is known primarily by the teaching of God's word. Put it in capital letter. That the Bible meaning of prophet is a preacher of the scriptures. In Luke 24, in 27, Jesus began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the prophets were the authors of scripture. They are teachers of the word. Now I know that over the years the meaning of prophet has been transitioned into people who can tell you your middle name. There's nothing wrong in that. I do that too, done that too to people. People can tell you your date of birth. That's not what a prophet is. A prophet can do that, but that is not who a prophet is. So if you go to Deuteronomy 13, what I believe last week we checked on that, and Moses, you can go there again. Emphasis is very vital. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. Moses gives a warning about prophets. And it's important that he said that because in their world, that ancient Near Eastern community, they had a lot of idols, a lot of magicians, a lot of people who see visions in our times. Remember when it was in Egypt? Remember that, you know, the prophets of Pharaoh, or let's say the magicians, they imitated everything he did. The first seven signs. They did. That wasn't new. So Moses warns us, Deuteronomy 13:1, the true test of a prophet. He says, when a man comes who is a prophet, or known as a prophet, and is a dreamer of dreams, and he shows you a sign and a wonder. Notice what he says, and it comes to pass. So that means, you know, that man is correct man of God. I dare be, don't eat it and get it. He's a correct man of God. Anything he says. When I was in primary school, he told me I would be a doctor. I'm a doctor. When I became a doctor, he told me I'd be a doctor of doctors. I'm a doctor of doctors. That man, he said that, he told my mother I was going to be born in February. I was born in February 30. See, that man is a correct man of God.
No, Moses said, no, that's not how to know. You know why? Because that is not exclusive to Christianity.
No, it's not. Not exclusive to Christianity. And he says, and he now tells you not to do God's word. Is that it?
Not to follow God. To follow other gods.
He said, now, of course, what he tells you to do is in their own world, he told you to stone. Told them to stone, not you. To stone. Which means he equates that conduct of misrepresenting God's word as murder. Because stoning is for blasphemy and murder. If anybody says I'm a prophet, he doesn't handle God's word. Why? Because the word prophet in the Hebrew is the word Nabi. N-A-B-I. You see it in Genesis 27. Used for Abraham. It means my spokesperson. One who speaks on my behalf. And you discover that Aaron was chosen as Moses' spokesperson. Exodus 7 verse 1. Why? Because God says, I will be with your mouth and his mouth. I will put words, verse 15 and 16, into his mouth. So a prophet is somebody who preaches God's word. Before I receive your signs and wonders, I need to know what you are teaching. Now, this is in no way trying to discriminate, or let me say, trying to relegate the importance of signs and wonders. We are very strong on the moving of the Holy Ghost. In our meetings, in our teaching, in our ministry, we have contributed to the glory of God, to the theology about the charismatic ministry. We have volumes of materials that were put out there. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have a lot of meetings, leading of the Spirit. We have following God's plan for your life. We have charismatic ministry, volumes 1 and 2. We are working on 3. So we're doing that. But see, we need to put first things first. A prophet is a preacher of God's word, of scripture. A prophet is known by how he interprets the scriptures. The moment his interpretation of scriptures becomes an error or deliberately twisted, I reject it. Including the signs and the miracles that he brings. That is God's word. I must learn to honor the written word above all else. Listen carefully. So the purpose of God for every believer is found primarily where? Where? In the written word. It's above prophecies by men. It's above signs and wonders. It's above someone's dream. Some of us, the way we glorify our dreams. But Pastor, I saw it in my dream. It was very real. But you look at the Bible, I know this Bible, but what about my dream? Put it in the Bible. Hallelujah. So God's purpose for every believer is found in the Word. Mark 16, are you in church? Mark 16 and 15. So if I am not found making disciples, I'm not in the will of God. I'm not in the will of God. No matter what anybody tells you. So I say, well, a man told me that I'm not to preach the word of God, that my own is to finance the gospel. 3 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5. Where is that? Those who preach the gospel also finance it. Those who finance also preach it. That's false teaching. Mark 16. Are you in the service? Verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And the signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He says they shall cast out demons. That's what devils have. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was exalted in heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Look at what comes first. The word is preached, then the signs. Not the signs and the word. So in other words, we have a duty to take God's word to people. The word
To preach keruso in the Greek means to announce it. To announce.
Now I'm going to say a few of that in the few of what I'm about to say now in the Workers' Convention. You know, some of us, we do very little with the gospel during the week. We tell people about everything but about the gospel. Tell them about different things. About sports. We tell them about what we do. We tell people about where we stay. We tell people about upcoming celebrations. The ones we've heard. We talk about our stories. But we don't find time to tell them about God's story. How many times do you engage people in the week with the gospel? If a whole week goes and no conversation of yours, I'm not talking about just going to preach where you go with your fellowship to preach, no. No conversation of yours leads to people hearing the gospel. There's something wrong about your relationships. There should be conversations that lead you to sharing the gospel. Talking about Jesus, talking about the scriptures. That is a Christian vocation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Remember one of the, as a Christian, I'm talking about 30 years ago. I think it's 30 years ago. I was not even in the ministry like that 30 years ago. Yeah, I was known then for sharing a lot about current affairs. So I had this group of friends. So I began to talk about, remember we're talking about the some news. I think that was the Gulf War. Okay? So we had the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein. So everybody was like, oh, no, you can't come and tell us. And I'm giving them the information. So somehow, now I didn't know much like I do today. So I made sure Saddam Hussein became Antichrist. So say, eh? Now they knew I knew current affairs. So when I got to Antichrist, I say, yeah. And it was in the evening. The night. So talking about Antichrist at night is bullseye. You know, I said, you know, Jesus can come any moment. I said, they even said they are making atomic bomb. That they drop like this, boom! It will get here. Say, eh, yeah. I told them the ones that happened in Hiroshima. They say, eh, say, yeah. Boy, you have time now to accept Jesus Christ into your life. There was a guy, staunch Muslim. He got up. Now, I didn't know as much, but I knew enough. I led that conversion to Christ. He, amongst other people, got born again. Today, his entire family, but that was maybe 2 years after, the entire family got saved, the whole Muslim family. They got born again. I think one of them or so is a pastor today. But it came from a conversation from a guy who didn't know much. But Antichrist, Saddam Hussein, atomic bomb, by mentioning Jesus dying for their sins. Hallelujah. That was 30 years ago. So you can engage in conversations. Conversations that lead men to hear about Jesus. Say, I preach the gospel. Raise your hand. Say, I preach the gospel. Deliberately. Praise the Lord. Amen. John's Gospel 20. Are you in church? John's Gospel 20. And verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And this, again, shows you that by giving us his Spirit, God makes us function in his capacity. Because it's only God who forgives sins, but by giving us his Spirit, he gives us the capacity to preach his word and declare men's sins are forgiven. So when I preach the gospel, I can say authoritatively about the Holy Spirit, I say, your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven you. What glorious grace through the gospel of Christ. And what glorious grace on us who serve. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24. And so we have here, he said, them all, O fools and slow of heart, I mentioned that earlier, to believe, verse 25, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I've done this emphasis over time that there's nothing that refers in the Bible, okay, to Genesis to Malachi as Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is God's word. It's the scriptures. Is that very clear? That is the scriptures. That is what Jesus taught from. That is what he read from. That's where he got his words from. That is where he got his expressions from. That is where he got his doctrine from. Like I mentioned in the earlier service, what we think is a contradiction between Genesis and Malachi and the books of Matthew to the book of Revelation is only interpretation. If you interpret the Old Testament, as we call it, properly, what you're going to get is Matthew to Revelation. If you properly interpret it, if you properly understand it, if you know the meaning. Interpretation simply means find the meaning, find the context, read it carefully. Find the meaning, find the context, and read it carefully. So the scriptures, listen carefully now, the scriptures is God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, from 15, from a child, Paul saying to Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So, Paul's letters are written. Now, let me mention this. Look up, this is critical. Paul never wrote his letters or the apostles to replace Genesis and Malachi. It was to take the place of physical teaching. Right? Physical explanation of Genesis to Malachi. And so that is why when he is present, that's Paul, or Peter, or James or John, what they teach from is Genesis to Malachi. When he is absent, in the place of explaining those books to them, they use the letters. Let me see if you understand that. Come on, you get it? Okay, so it shows, and then again asserts, that we must not treat the Old Testament, as we call it, as books that are expired. I said it in the first service, that you don't, a habit we must get rid of is having favorite verses. I used to have that. I had my favorite verses as a Christian. One of my favorite verses was Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you. I love that. Then the man another song, he who began the good work in you. I love the verse a lot. Even though I didn't understand what it meant. You're not supposed to have favorite verses. You're supposed to read all scriptures. Don't say all scripture. Say all scripture. Well, read them. Read it, know it, and practice it. Hallelujah. So, what we have as the epistles are the explanations. Alright? Which takes the place of Paul, Peter, James, and John when they are not present. That's why you see they say that, I long to come and see you. Or I heard of this. So it's a response to a question. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But when they are physically present, they teach from Genesis to Malachi. Is that clear? Very good. That's an important information that you need to put in your mind. So those are their books. Those are the materials that they use. So we're looking at supernatural hope. Or supernatural expectation, hope. And last week, we said hope, supernatural expectation, is different from just wishing or guessing. And last week, look at Luke 24, we saw that a man can expect wrongly when his understanding of scripture is not proper. Is that clear? We saw that last week, didn't we? Come on. Okay. Now, like these guys, in Luke 24:21, they said, we are trusted. That's the word hope. Elpizo. We are trusted. So when your understanding of scripture is wrong, your expectation will not be correct. But let's lay a foundation quickly. We've been doing that for a while though. That God's word gives us expectation. But you need to interpret it appropriately to know the expectation that he gives. Now, a lot of believers, for example, who hold God responsible for what he never said. Now, look at these guys. They were expecting a king that would come and torpedo, or let's say, overthrow Herod and the Roman Empire. That's what they were waiting for. But God never promised that. The kingdom God promised had to come through sufferings, through death, burial, and resurrection. It was right there in scriptures, but they read their meanings into it. They're sometimes like that. We read our desires into scriptures. We read into the scriptures. Rather than look at the scriptures and what it says we should expect. So when Jesus died, they were dumbfounded. They were confused. But everything that Jesus did on the cross to the grave was already written in scripture. But they didn't understand it, so they never expected it. So, you and I must handle Bible understanding and interpretation with all seriousness. The way you treat scriptures is the way you treat God. Now, I'm teaching, and you don't have a Bible, for example. You're not opening to it. You're just looking at me. That's an attitude you have towards God, not me. Because it's his word. So, these folks trusted. And then Jesus called them fools. Slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart means that they're understanding. Bradocardia. Slow of heart. To believe. Look at John 5. So, the moment I told you before over the years that your interpretation of scripture will dictate your worship of God. There are people today who worship an idol and it's not God because of a wrong interpretation of scripture. For example, if somebody gets up today and asks that God should kill people who don't like him. Now, that is his desire, okay? And he can even get it to happen. But it wasn't done by God because that worship is not to God. How about it's in the Bible? It's in the Bible. The God. No, did you really read the Bible? Jesus with his own flock, the 12, with the Pharisees who were masters of scripture, he had to correct their interpretation. In Matthew 12:3, he said, have you not read? And verse 5. Read it properly. In Matthew 19, when they said, well, can a man put away his wife for every cause? He said, have you not read it? But he said, are we not quoting the Bible too? Then he went to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. He said, no, go to Genesis 1 and 2. So you can find a statement in scripture that you are not supposed to act upon. You are only supposed to understand it. Have you not read? So they were dumbfounded that if Jesus is God, why did he have to die? Because their understanding of scripture was warped. So you can be worshipping an idol and the devil thinking you are worshipping God. So without, and that's why we spend time in a service like this, to teach the word of God. And we didn't start today, I tell people a lot of times. For the glory of God. We've been in the ministry a few days. But you will never catch me mishandle scriptures like an idiot. No. I'm grateful to God for people who at the earlier stages of Christian living who helped us. One of them was the general overseer of the New Covenant Church, Reverend Paul G. Norton, who gave us outlines, told us to read the Bible properly. Pastor W.F. Kumuyi was like that too. I was an ardent student of his Bible study outlines. They never took Bible teaching frivolously. Never. Never. Despite the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the growth of their ministry there. No. You must pay attention to the teaching of God's word anywhere you go to. Listen to me. Where the teaching of God's word is not first place, it's an idol worshiping center. The most important thing in the local assembly is the teaching of God's word. That is how you know what to pray about. How to pray. The miracles that God does and the one he does not do. The moment your interpretation of scripture is incorrect, your worship is incorrect. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Let me see how you are. So you must take the teaching of God's word seriously. I'm grateful to God for such men. Before I met people like Brother Hagin and all that, but those men instilled. Pastor Shola Oladele, I must mention that heavily too, highly. He made us know Brother Paul Ginodo of Reverend Paul, and it was such a blessing. I didn't know it was important then as I know today. I look back and I'm thinking, I didn't know that was the discipline. When I see Christians, people also walking through the service, the phone, not in the right way, they just come to the service, and they want the service to quickly round up. He just came in, and I say, when the service is over? That's 3 hours. 3 what? Why now? You didn't tell me now? You told me that we're coming to the church. You are not serious. You are not serious. We watch, I said I wasn't going to use football, but sorry. We watch games, we watch the prelim. After they had won, you will see what 1 hour after be good. Then you come to church, you are looking at the wristwatch. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth requires effort. So that the university, they won't collect Saturday and give you Sunday. You see some Christians, they will give them, you can give them handkerchief. Say, this is the Holy Spirit. And they say, thank you, sir. Why would you do that? When you don't have a Bible. The one you have is glued together. They will give you sand. They say, this is the glory of God. Say, thank you, Baba. Because you didn't pay attention. Hallelujah. One of us in this church, she shouldn't look at me. Don't look at me, right? Don't, make sure you don't, so nobody knows I'm talking about you. Someone told her, the person who told her is in this church too. Say, if you go for that anointing cabinet, I will kill your angel. You don't know who the person is. So. The person who said it is here. The beneficiary is here. The person who said it is a pastor here. The vision is a When she told me, I said, I love it! She said, sir, is it wrong? I said, how did somebody kill your angel? She said, I don't know. Don't you have a Bible? You don't know who the person is. Keep guessing. Years ago, myself and a friend, that's in 96 or 7. We had this lady, she was told that she was the second in command of the devil. Satan has had many second in commands. So she came to a friend of mine, Pastor Yomi Ojo, and went together. She said, sir, he said that that's where I cannot graduate. She was studying statistics in UI. She said, that's where I can't graduate. They said the demons have taken away my memory. I said, She said, I'm second to come out of the. I now laughed and I fell off this. She said, why is he laughing? My friend said, because you are funny. You know, then we could be very arrogant, you know. I said, how can
And you'll be saying, God, give all of the devil. And he said, but that's what I was told. If you're not going to call the devil, then he's a cheap devil. She said, sorry, sir. And I said, no. She said, she went to one deliverance theater. They were turning her head. She's turning around, and you know, when you are too yellow, you have demon. When you are too black, you have demon. When your hair is long, there's trouble. When you call it again, there's trouble. Women, eh? Sorry, eh? Hallelujah. A woman was expecting, is going to church, wants to have children. You are diagnosing the spiritual problem. Are you well? Just pray and leave her. Amen? Amen. So saying, the spirit of God is saying, yeah, I'm over 30, no. I'm Mary. How can I say it in English? I begin to ask stupid questions. You know? So she had done all this. She said she was vomiting something. I said, your stomach is big. I said, you are nobody's second in command. They are all deceiving you. So you, the pastor, all of you, you have been silly. So I gave her scripture. For example, the scripture I gave, I have a better understanding today. He said she went on. I said, but don't go to that place again. I said, they hand people demons. They are the ones that are giving it out. Because before you went there, you were normal. So years later, 1999, I think, no, 98, Pastor Lord then had known me. So we went to, we were going through Idia Hall. So she had, no, I think that was 96, no, 99, sorry. So 97, 99, because I remember it was 2 years after. So she saw me, and then ran. She was in the NYC garment. So she ran and hugged me. So she was wondering. I said, so thank you very much. I've been looking for you. And I said, oh, how did the devil remove you as second in command? How did you graduate? And they're laughing. I said, this is the person I'm talking about. He said, I'm not second in command. I said, no. Hallelujah. When they say that to you, you will not come. Why will you not become second in command with the devil? He said, Just go somewhere. Then the man said, out. Every cobweb. Every demon. Every demon. Hallelujah. See, I take God's word seriously. So they were expecting what God never said. John 5. There was a lady like that. I think that was your classmate. They told her not to eat rice and coke. Huh? Okay. This was, I think, year 2000 or so. 2001. She said, rice and coke. So I said, that's what they said. Say, yes, sir. I said, go and get me rice and coke. Yeah, cook. Yeah. Eat the dinner! She said, eat the dinner! Yeah, in Jesus' name. Rice and coke. That is my own tree of life. Me, my glorified body will eat rice. I know. How can they call rice? I said, eat the thing. He ate it. Ate it together. So don't go there again, no. That was it. The doctor now, right? Doing well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes when we act on God, we appear arrogant. We're not arrogant, we're only bold. Amen. We're only bold. If I, again, the devil, we're arrogant, that one is okay. Amen. So you take God's word seriously. John 5. Are you in church? Hosanna say, is he saying there are no demons? No, but there's the believer. Hallelujah. I didn't say there are no demons, but there's the believer. The believer has authority over the works of the devil. Absolute authority. It's not conditional upon him living right. No.
Jesus gave the authority to us without conditions. A believer, listen to me, that a believer must pray. We must always pray to make power available. But it's not prayer that brings power. It is the power we have that makes prayer effective. Hallelujah. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. So I must be clear in my mind. It is something I'm very clear about. And for as many years I can remember, I know who I am. I've never thought about any other thing. No. In the earlier years as a Christian, they'll give altar call. I knew the God's word has settled in my heart. When they give altar call, I will come out. There was a week later, I came out, I said, one per day. Salvation. How many salvation do I have? 1 week. Perfection. 7. So one day I sat down, I said, God, what exactly do you want? Tell us. Let's settle this so that I can come out once and for all. Years later, when I began to feed on the realities of the word of God, there was one sermon like that when I heard it then. Don't let me mention the title. Just with the keyboard in your background, you'll be crying. Just the keyboard. Years later, I remember when I now heard the same, I was not laughing. I said, you mean I came out for this? Never again did I feel someone giving another call and I'm trying to come out. You know why? Because God's word has now settled on my heart. Hallelujah. Then when I hear rapture, ra, I'm come out. Cho, I'm back. 6, 6, 6. I enter. Will you be ready? No. I'm not the one that should get ready. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When the Lord shall come, I will be ready. I will be ready when the Lord shall come. When the faith go mighty me, oh Lord, I want to be in the number. Anybody who tells you, will you be ready? Say, are you ready? Let him answer for us. Is your name in the book of life? Is your own name? Hallelujah. God's word gives us assurance of what to expect. Glory to God. Say, I'm full of the word and I'm full of the spirit. John 5:39. You search the scriptures and you think, in them you think you have eternal life. They are there who testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. So, they searched wrongly. So in 45, think not I've come to accuse you before the Father. There's one which accuses you, Moses, in whom you trusted. Elpizo. Said, but you will not believe my words because you never believed his writings. You didn't believe me because in verse 46 you never believed his writings. So, a lack of understanding and search of the scriptures will produce a wrong expectation. Why did they not know it was Jesus who came? Pay attention. Mary knew. Elizabeth knew. Zachariah knew. John knew. And not just that. In Luke 2, listen carefully, Simeon the prophet knew who Jesus was from the scriptures. Anna the prophetess knew who Jesus was. The wise men from the east knew who he was. How come the Pharisees did not know? How come those who were around him didn't know? Because they wrongly read the scriptures. And their expectation was wrong. Hallelujah. So your worship of God is dependent on your interpretation of scriptures. Romans 15. Learning something? You're learning something? Talk to me. Romans 15. Verse 4. Let's read it together. Romans 15:4. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Romans 15:4. Let's go. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That word is doctrine. Go on. That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Put the word expectation. We might have what? We might have what? Expectation. So when we understand the doctrine of the scriptures, now the scriptures here refer to where? Genesis to where?
we will have the right expectation. The right expectation.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So which means the Bible gives us an expectation. The scriptures give us an expectation. You can call the Bible the word of expectation. God's word for expectation. Romans 15 again. Verse 13. In fact, I'll read from 12. Again, as I said, there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Trust. Look at 13. Let's take 13 together. Now the God of... No, change it now. The God of what? Expectation. Huh? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is the God of what? Expectation. It gives us an expectation. And we are bound in expectation through the power of the Holy Ghost. The believer is never hopeless. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The believer is always expectant. Who's like that here? Come on. Who's like that here? Always expectant. So we may appear too positive for people. Always expect. I don't need a positive exhortation from somebody or motivational speaker. I don't need that. I fill my mind with God's word. I was telling someone one day, a younger preacher, I said, he was fed up about ministry and about his church. And he said, things were not working. He said that. He said, yeah, there are times that you need to get trained, okay, and you go through different periods of learning and grooming. I said, but you know something. If you keep feeding your mind with God's word, and you see God's project, and you see His dream, you will never, ever be hopeless. Never. Never. Hallelujah. I know Nigeria, for example. We prayed about it years ago. And we know what to expect. One time, myself and Brother Dan, the pastor of Saint Mary's Church, we're going somewhere in East Africa. We're going to have a meeting. No, South Africa. Southern Africa. So we're coming back. And then we saw in the plane that we flew, and we saw some people, you know, they were coming to Nigeria for something. And they wore like a uniform. So I said to him, I said, very soon, people are going to be in an airplane. And they're going to be coming for our meetings. Praise the Lord. I told him that. He said, very soon. And that happened just after. And it's still happening. It will happen more. Hallelujah. And I said, people are going to come to Nigeria to hear God's word, to be influenced by His Spirit. That while some are trying to say, okay, this country is known for this and that, I said, they will say this country is known for revelation knowledge. For the move of the Holy Ghost. Now we have people around the world. I was in the US and they told me that they went for one. There was a conference they had. And then I had to come to Nigeria to confirm it. And they said that this man, very respectable preacher, has gone with the Lord now. He said they had these folks, were 18 of them, he said. He said, and they came from different parts. None of them was a black man. No, there was an African. And he said they had on their phones your website, Living Word Media. He said all of them. He was studying from there. It was in Philadelphia. So I came to Lagos, okay, came back and I asked Brother Dan, same person, I said, come on, tell me. You guys didn't tell me we have such foreign America. I said, yes, sir, we do. And he showed me the map. So I was told. But people that we had never met before. So this country, because we are here, our churches are here, our fellowships are here, our meetings are held here, we're going to have more of God's word in our nation. Nigeria will not be known for headsmen killings or kidnapping. No, not for insecurity. Nigeria will rise above all that by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's word will flood the hearts of men. Amen. People's businesses will be restored, their confidence restored, their homes restored in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see peace all over Nigeria. I see the move of the Holy Ghost all over this country. That's what we believe for. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our expectation. What's yours?
What's yours? That's my expectation. No panic, praise God. No panic, praise God. Hallelujah. You have your seat now, amen. So that's the word of God. He's a God of hope. Amen. We have expectation. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've got a strong expectation. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He fills our hearts with hope. And we are bound by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Ghost. See, I am bound by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you just smile? You know it's good to smile. Just smile. Amen. Just smile. Praise God. You can't have hope and not smile. Amen. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I know last week looked somehow, but you can smile. Amen. I'll snap my smile. I'm back in it again, right? You can smile. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You can smile. Amen. Glory to God. Joy in the Holy Ghost is not for Holy Ghost meetings. We only know how to use the Holy Ghost. No! It's for Monday. Monday night. Tuesday morning. Oh, that tough Wednesday morning. Oh, that Friday evening, the week is gone again, nothing has come. It's for that Saturday night. And sometimes people are employed of labor Sunday night into Monday morning or end of the month. But you know you can smile. Hallelujah. He's a God of hope. We're never hopeless. We're never hopeless. We're never hopeless. He fills us with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's not hope that we just wish for. It's hope that is supplied by the power of the Holy Ghost. What's the difference between mere wishing? Wishing. You know, we're just wishing. What's the difference between mere wishing? Glory to God. Remember when we got to the university? Oh my. The faculty of law. Everybody was saying, you know, I'm coming here by one of my friends there. Reading mates. We're like four. They're all Christians. And she said, I am going to make a first class. She said that. Very strong. I didn't say anything. Because I was crossing to the school, so I had some experience. I came from one university to another, so I said, okay. Yeah. You know, doesn't mean I was right, but I'm just telling you the true story. So another guy said, yeah. Another guy who was a little bit older than we were, he had gone through the College of Education, he had even been a teacher, he said, well, let me just be a lawyer. One of us just spoke well, and then the very first test, when the results came out, and then the sister said, I know I can make a 2-1. The second class offer. I wasn't disappointed. Because, you know, so the times like that we just make wishes. It is not wrong to make wishes, but that's not Bible hope. Bible hope is a strong expectation. Don't forget that. It is substantiated. Hebrews 11:1. It says faith is the substance. And the faith, there is a faithfulness of God. Are you there? The faithfulness of God, when he gave his word in the Old Testament, is the substance. Look at that word substance. Hypotasis. Hypotasis is used for confidence. Confidence. Confidence is the substance of things. The word there is pragma, not material things, events and persons.
substance, hypotasis, in the Greek. Now go to Hebrews 1, where that same word is used. Hebrews 1, and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now the word person there is the word hypotasis. Is person. So when we say faith is the substance, the faithfulness of God is that confidence. It's like a person. God's faithfulness was that substantiation of what they trusted, what they expected. It says the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 3:14, that word hypotasis is also used. No, Hebrews 3:6. If we hold fast the confidence, hypotasis, the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So God's word in our hearts is the substance of that expectation. So we don't just wish. We expect God's word to work. Told you, God's word has worked in the resurrection of Jesus. God's word is working in that ongoing work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And so we have that confidence from the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. He's reliable. Is able and reliable. Some people are able, but they are not reliable. Some people are reliable, but they don't have the ability. God is both. He's faithful and he is reliable. So how do I fill my mind? I fill my mind with the written word. I understand it. I feed on it. I fill my mind with the written word. In Daniel chapter 9, we have Daniel in the midst of what you can call an exile. And they were in captivity. In Daniel chapter 9, scripture says that Daniel said in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. The number of years. Now, what do you mean by the books? He's not talking about reading motivational materials or reading people's history. No. The books he's referring to are the scriptures. He knew they had liberty and freedom. He knew it by the writings of Jeremiah. So the writings of scriptures were to give an expectation. What to expect. It's right there in scripture. So I need to read it, study it, hear it often. When I discover that my expectation of the word of God is lowered, and my expectation of negative things is high, I need to pump more volume of God's word into my heart. I need to have more of God's word. More of God's word in my heart. So God brings expectations to me by his word. By his word. As I read God's word, told you last week, it brings pictures to my mind. What to expect. What to expect. And coming with that, the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Of course, God's leading by his Spirit is according to his word. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Anyone like that? Anyone like that?
Yes,
anyone like that?
Yes,
but the spirit of adoption hereby we cry, have a father. Romans 8:15. Then it says in 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Some material in the Greek.
S-U-M-M-A-T-E-R-E-O, some material. It means to add further facts, to add further evidence, to have a joint witness. What Brother Hagin taught as the inward witness. Romans 9:1. Paul says, I lie not. My conscience, Romans 9:1, also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the witness of the Holy Ghost. Everybody here has the witness of the Holy Ghost. There are times that you hear wrong stuff, negative stuff, but there's a witness of the Spirit. First time I knew that without being told. I just got saved. And then I had his uncle who was like my godfather. And then he got to know I was saved just a few months after I got born again. And then he engaged me about the faith. And he said, I heard you're not born again. And then he said, asking me questions I didn't know about. He had read the Bible cover to cover, including the graphs. I said, so he asked me about Jesus, things about Jesus. I didn't know. I said, He said, you don't even know. There's nothing called born again. He said, Christianity is, it confused my head that day. Then he told me that I should come and join one organization like that. He said, we are broad. It's not just about Bible, we read this. I was stunned. He's quite knowledgeable. But I knew in my heart, somewhere in my spirit, I said, no, I may not have it all here, but down here I know. I'm born again. I've done the right thing. I'm a believer. So I kept quiet, didn't see anything. And I walked away. Remember, I just said to myself, I'm born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for eternal life you've given to me. Thank you for salvation. I didn't know much. Of course, years down the line, much years down the line. So I went back to him. So that thing we talked about some years ago, can we talk about it now? No, but you see, that, right, didn't come first. What came first was that leading of the Spirit. I couldn't exactly explain it. I couldn't exactly tell what it was, but it gave me an assurance. Like believers. You don't get to know who you are in Christ immediately, but you have that leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's always there. See, I've got the leading of the Spirit. I've got a witness of the Spirit. So that same way, we can have supernatural expectations by the Spirit of God. The written word, 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, and the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And those leadings and promptings of the Spirit. Those promptings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They raise our expectation. About times like that. Where, you know, nothing in my head was clear. You know that those kind of moments, you can't just figure things out. And that's why, learn not to always think you can figure everything out. It doesn't work that way. A Christian. A Christian must know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And there are moments like that I'm just walking. And I begin to speak in other tongues. I'm praying the Holy Ghost. Just praying the Holy Ghost. Praying the Holy Ghost. What am I doing? I'm getting a hold of God's expectation. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't have anything in my head. Right? Because I don't have it figured out. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes, like Paul says, be not drunk with wine. Right? Ephesians 5:18. When in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. At that moment, you don't have a song. Praise the Lord. You just have a song. And you have that song. So number one, don't forget the written word, the leading of the Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Ghost. The promptings of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm just praying in other tongues. And I'm singing, lifting my hands, just like David. In those horrible moments of David, he had a song. He had a song. He had a song. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the beginning. Later on, he said, I trust in you. Hallelujah. A seed shall serve him. He shall be accounted for a generation. And Jesus took those words. Same words. Words of expectation. In spite of the despair. Psalms. Hallelujah. See, I always have a sound. Praise the Lord. Some of you, you go to the very edge of it. You'll be whistling. Nothing particularly. Now it's time to sing it out. Don't whistle again. Just go and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Your love overwhelms me. Your grace is sufficient. I overcome. I ride through the highways of this life. Led by your spirit, prompted by your word. It's all coming down. Every barrier is coming down. Glory to God. It's all coming down. Now, if your voice is such that when we hear you, we think that God parted the Red Sea, you can just say it, you know, I just chant it like Brother Higgins said. Brother Higgins said he tried to learn music, and the music teacher said there's no key. That is not the call of God upon his life, so he doesn't sing, alright? You know, and you raise your voice. Praise the Lord. There's a psalm, there's a song. At those moments you felt things were so dark, think about Jesus. He got a psalm in the grave. Hallelujah. He put the word on his leaves in the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Are you in church? Imagine that fellow who's condemned to death. He's at the right hand of Jesus on the cross. A malefactor, a criminal. You know what he said? He said, remember me. Hallelujah. Who says that at such hopeless moments? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a song even in the night. Glory to God. Paul and Silas, they were right there in jail. You're bucked down, tied down. And they're kind of prisoners, not the kind of stuff that you make calls. You don't make phone calls there. They're stuck down like this. Legs tied to the ground. Roman jail. I just like that. And Paul says, Silas! Say, yes, sir. We've got a song, right? Say, yay! The Bible says they sang and all the prisoners heard it. Glory to God. Say, I always have a song. Say, I always have a song. Hallelujah. To the word of God, expectation. The leading of the Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get us full. Because Romans 15:13 says, He fills us with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. So when you pray, we also pray with expectations. Prayer produces expectation. Paul in Romans 15. Get there again. Romans 15. Learning something? Are you learning something? Romans 15. He says, pray, strive together with me, verse 39, to God with me, that I may be delivered from them that don't believe, that my service can be accepted. 32, that I may come with you with joy. You must pray with an expectation. Are you there? When you pray for people, pray with look out for that expectation. All of Paul's prayers, they had an expectation. I seek not to make mention of you always in my prayer, that God will grant unto you, that the eyes of your understanding, that you may know, that's expectation. Hallelujah. That's expectation. In Colossians, he said that they will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Philippians, he said that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Now, that means, even though they had challenges, he read about their challenges, he heard about it, but he prayed with expectations. Hallelujah. Don't pray with lamentation. Pray with what? Expectation. Pray. The believer must pray always. Because prayer produces our expectations. Hope has its own pictures. I said that last week. I'm not able to get to that too much. Has its own pictures. When I say, my God shall supply all my needs, I say, I'm never stranded. In the name of Jesus, God supplies all my needs. I am never stranded. In the name of Jesus. Say that again, I'm never stranded. In the name of Jesus.
I'm never helpless. In the name of Jesus. I'm never afraid. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. In the name of Jesus. Help comes to me all the time. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. In the name of Jesus. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never stranded. I'm never helpless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I'm never hopeless. I'm never hopeless. I'm never hopeless. I'm never hopeless. Help comes to me. In the name of Jesus. I am full of hope. I'm full of expectation. I am never stranded. Hallelujah. Now sit down. Come on. Never helpless. Never helpless. Never stranded. So when I read Bible stories, I know what to expect. Is that clear? Because what God has done, He can do again. Is that it? So the faithfulness of God substantiates my hope. There's something about seeing something. You've seen it before. And I tell people oftentimes, we had terrible times. Every believer passes through terrible times. But sometimes when you've seen God's word work in that area, you just are confident. It's just, no, don't worry, we'll be fine. Amen. We'll be good. Praise the Lord. We'll be fine. Amen. What about saying, Elvin, I'll be fine. Glory God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll be good. We'll be fine. Don't worry. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Years ago, someone said, why do you say we'll be fine? There's nobody left in the church. I said, there's a weed out coming. Y'all here now. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, we'll be fine. Glory. The guy said, which we? I said, they're not going to say no word. The we will come. Hallelujah. You need to have that Bible hope. Not mere wish. By the confidence we have in the word, the leading of the spirit, the promptings of the spirit, the place of prayer. You can't find a man who is prayerful and is hopeless. It's not possible. I'm not about speaking in tongues and your tongues is on the right side, your mind is on the left side. Then you are praying with an expectation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why depression is not ours. How can it come? How can it come? We're full of God's word. Full of God's spirit. We give a psalm. We give a hymn. Praise the Lord. We pray. And then our expectation is re-energized. We can't be stranded. No. Not in the work of the ministry. Not in our businesses. Not in our career. If they sacked you, you get another one. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
If a business goes down, you do another one. Yes, sir. Amen? Yes. Believers have learned to do it again. Anyway, what is salvation? It's not do it again. Where we failed, then God picks us up. Is that not what it is? A restored new covenant. That's what it is. So I've learned from God never to give up. That's one of my mottos in life. I can never be defeated and I'll never quit. If you want to know somebody who never leaves the field, I'm that kind of person. We'll do it again. We'll be fine. So I like to look at people and say, let's do it again. Do it again. Let's do it again. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Do it again. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get a report from the doctors.
They're not evil folks, that's just what they know. I was in Ibadan years back, a few years ago. I wanted to see some people, the preachers of the gospel. And so I was counseling with them. And we were trying to counsel them over something, but somehow we didn't get what the problem was. So by the Holy Ghost, I picked up what the challenge was. From their first child, they told them they couldn't have another one without much problems. So, you know that kind of thing between couples where they're not saying that's what is causing the problem. So the husband is blaming himself for marrying the wife. You know what I'm talking about. The wife is, they're not saying to each other, but in their minds, they're saying, I didn't marry him now. I've had this problem. And so it was, something very sensitive. So I just picked about the Holy Ghost and I told them, I said, this is what the problem is. And so my friends went together, they said, wow. We had spoken for about 3 hours. We didn't know what it is until I just knew about the Holy Ghost. And I told them, I said, okay, we're going to believe God. You know? And we did. Just believe God. That's what the doctors have said. They're not evil folks, okay? But what do you want? So she told me. The husband said the same thing. Thing that affected every other thing they're doing. So we believe God. And I said, alright. The funny thing was, listen to what I'm about to say, I forgot totally. So, just after camp meeting, this year, she just called me. When I saw her number, because she had never called me in 3 years, I was just like, hope there's no problem again. She said, daddy, because she calls me. She said, I just came from the doctors, I'm in tears. Look at the report. Thank you, sir. I said, for what? So I tried to remember, what? Oh, praise the Lord! I didn't remember. Said that day, as you spoke that word, which word? That word, the word of God. Hallelujah. Imagine I had forgotten, but she has strong expectation. Hallelujah. Sometimes your pastor may not be believing like that, though. Remember years ago, when Pastor Zach called me and told me something. You know, she was expecting to come out best in her school class. I claimed to believe with her, but I wasn't as strong, you know. So she just called me, she said, they told me that I just saw my scores, it wasn't up to you. I said, So I had to say, just forget it, it doesn't matter what you have, what matters is who you are. She said, I just had to tell you, I've not dropped what I believe for. I said, okay. I remember where I was. I was in my friend's house, Pastor Tim Grage. I said, just don't be going out of control. The next day she called me. She said, the supervisor came back and said he made an error. I said, oh, praise God! So that means really, your expectation is yours. Amen? It's yours. I can never be stranded. No, I can't. Amen. You see, if you look at the Exodus, millions of people, let's agree that's the number. Two folks just stood out. So sometimes, it doesn't matter what's around you. Have that spirit of faith. That in spite of my environment, my expectation is different. Caleb and Joshua saw things differently. Imagine millions of people around us. Some of us, you just five people in your family. You're already saying what they're saying. Two people in your office, they're saying, we don't know where everything is going. This country is just going to get worse and worse. You are in the office. Caleb and Joseph said, no! For we are able. That is the spirit of faith. That has the expectation of God. Amen. I can't be stranded. I can't be hopeless. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Almighty God, you spoke your word.